Well, I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you. It's always an honor and a privilege to serve under Apostle Thompson, especially in the School of Ministry. And this class for this semester will be Catching the Waves of Revival. Catching the Waves of Revival. And then for next semester, we'll be teaching you on moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. Okay? So for this class, for this semester, is Catching the Waves of Revival by Apostle Jonathan David. Amen? Yes. All right. So I want to welcome our online students as well. And so let's pray. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for this day that you have made. We've already set our hearts to rejoice and to be glad in it. We thank you for Jesus and all that he's accomplished on our behalf. We also thank you for the precious Holy Spirit, who is the true teacher. We know nothing. He knows everything. So we yield and we depend upon him. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for the apostolic call that's upon his life. And we thank you that because of connection and through connection, our lives are different. And we praise you for it. We thank you for supernatural advancement as we follow in his footsteps. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want you to read the introduction in chapter 1, Catching the Waves of Revival. Okay? Now I have my brother here. He assists me. So y'all just pay attention. Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's roll.
Catching the Waves of Revival, introduction. Definition of revival.
All right. We're going to start off with the definition of revival.
The sovereign act of God.
The revival talks about the sovereign act of God.
In which he restores his own backsliding people.
In which God restores his own backsliding people.
To repentance.
To a place of repentance.
Faith and obedience.
And to a place of faith and obedience to his word.
In Hosea 10, 12.
In Hosea chapter number 10, verse 12.
Hosea the prophet describes revival.
Hosea the prophet describes revival
as breaking up fallow ground.
As the breaking of fallow ground
that once has been tilled.
That once has been tilled. Now, when you read Hosea chapter 10, I encourage you to follow up on these passages of scripture. You will find out that no revival starts without true repentance from dead works. Getting rid of things out of our lives that we know are not pleasing to God. This is the essence of true revival. And so what you're going to discover as we continue in this class is that true revival begins with you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, read, sir.
Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire.
Revival is seen as the breaking forth of heaven's fire.
On the earth.
On the earth.
It breaks the effects and influence.
It breaks the effects and the influence
of hell's fire on earth.
Of hell's fire on earth.
And establishes God's kingdom government.
And it establishes God's kingdom government
here on earth.
Here on earth. Now that's important because one of the things you know, first that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. Now y'all know they fight fires with fire, right? Right? They go ahead of the fire. They burn stuff down because if we can cut it off, we can stop it. Well, guess what? You can't stop hell's fire without heaven's fire. And, you know, part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Notice what he says. He shall. Who? He shall. Who is he? Jesus, not the Holy Ghost, Jesus. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. Jesus is the agent. Jesus is the one who baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. So John the Baptist, who was the forerunner in introducing him, says, the one who cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. See, we talk about a lot about power, but you got to have some fire to go with that power.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Fire is a what? Purifying agent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are you listening? Fire is a what? a purifying agent. So the true essence of revival is about fire. What kind of fire? Holy Ghost fire. Read, sir.
The purpose of the apostolic.
The purpose of the apostolic.
Is to create heaven to earth government.
Is to create heaven, the earth's government.
Structure which allows the portals.
Heaven to earth government structure which allows the portals of heaven.
Of the supernatural to be open.
Of the supernatural to be open. Now we're talking about apostolic government. This is going to be on a test. Apostolic government is heaven, the earth government. God established the church, and the first gift that he put in the church is the apostle. Jesus took 12 men who he ordained to be apostles. He didn't have a whole church. He took 12 men and he trained them in apostolic government. Are you listening? Jesus is the head of the church. Are you listening? Jesus is the head of the church, and the head of the church gave gifts to the church. And the first gift that he gave was apostles. The second was prophets. Thirdly, teachers. Are you listening? After that, helps in government. That's talking about the helps government. It talks about gifts of healing, working of miracles. That's the evangelist. That's in 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're talking about the gifts that Jesus placed in the church. And number one, first in time, first in rank, first in order is the apostle. So when we talk about apostolic government, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. Are you listening?
Yes,
talking to his apostle.
Yes,
are you listening?
Yes,
our connection with the apostle is vitally important because every church should function from heaven to earth government. You will hear me say this quite often. We're not training you to go to heaven. That's religion and tradition. We're not training you to go to heaven. Apostolic government is bringing heaven to the earth. Jesus said, "Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus came from heaven to the earth to bring the government of heaven into the earth. It's no different than what we do in a democracy. We have ambassadors. Those ambassadors are assigned to different countries to introduce them to what we call the best form of government. Are you listening? Which is democracy. But I disagree. I think the greatest form of government is a theocracy. Because when a democracy violates the theocracy, we must be theocratic and not democratic. I just thought y'all should know that. Go ahead on. Read.
The only way to shut the gates of hell.
The only way to shut the gates of hell.
Is to open the doors of heaven.
Is to open the doors of heaven. Did you hear that? The only way to shut the gates of hell is to open the doors of heaven. Now watch this. You are the doors of heaven that God want to open up. And that's why you must be connected to apostolic government. Are you listening? Because apostles are builders in the spirit. Are you listening? We have the responsibility of building God's church. Are you listening? By the Spirit. That's why you got to have a seasoned veteran. Y'all say what you want. I'm telling y'all straight up, you might not like it. But we follow and we are connected to one of the greatest men I've ever met, not only in my life, but even my own father who's in glory, told me when I met him, said, "Now, son, that man is operating from another realm." Now, when you get another man, and my father was a pastor, are you listening? Been in ministry for over 50 some years. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
But when he saw me connect with this man, he said, "That man there is functioning from another realm." So I knew I got something. Huh? Are you listening? Don't settle for less when God has given to you the best. Read, sir.
Cooperation in revival.
There must be cooperation in revival. Go ahead.
God cannot move unless men.
God cannot move unless men.
Have prepared themselves.
Have prepared themselves.
In accordance to his revealed word.
In accordance to his, say, revealed word.
Revealed.
Now, revealed word has to deal with revelation knowledge. You don't function in the whole Bible. Oh, now that y'all going to get quiet.
No.
You don't know the whole Bible. You can only function from what God reveals to you out of the Bible, which means you got to take time to load all 66 books instead of all that other trash you be reading. Put them romantic novels down. Get rid of Facebook and Instagram and all of these other social media tools that occupy people time and load the software. Most people don't have nothing to work with because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, only works with the Word. So you have to cooperate. How do you cooperate? By being prepared. You don't just prepare on Mondays and Wednesdays for school. This is a 24-hour, 7-day a week. I mean, you got to do this thing. You got to Nike this. Okay. And now I'm going to talk to you because, see, Nike comes from the Greek word overcome and victory. The Greek word Nike is used in to he that overcometh. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So in this school of ministry, we don't want to give you book knowledge, just book knowledge. We want to impart to you what it's going to take for you to be on the cutting edge. In case you don't realize, apostle on the cutting edge. So we're not stopping with some form of theology we got. This whole school changed from the time I graduated in 2011. Are you listening? So all of the curriculum have changed because we've moved to apostolic government. And that's what I love about apostle. When change come, boom, he gone. Okay, read, sir.
Revival is cooperation.
Revival is cooperation.
And covenant thing.
In a covenant thing.
The fire came from heaven.
The fire came from heaven.
After the prophet Elijah.
After the prophet Elijah.
Had built an altar according to his word.
Had built an altar according to God's word.
That's in 1 Kings 18, 30 through 38.
That's 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 through 38. We don't have time to read all of these things. I'm going to encourage you to read it. But you, there was a statement made. We're going to look at it. 1 Kings 18, 30 through 38. See, every year things are different. I may cover something a little different. Hurry up, get there. I need somebody to read this for me. Don't wait on him. Anybody get it. I just read. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 30 through 38. Read. Y'all iPads don't move that fast? All right, come on. And Elijah said unto all the people,
come near unto me.
Come near unto me.
And all the people came near unto me.
And all of the people, you're going to read for me every class. And all the people, all the people came near unto him.
And he repaired the altar of the Lord.
And notice what the Bible says. And he repaired the altar of the Lord. That means it must have got damaged.
Right. Right.
Read.
That was broken down.
And Elijah took 12 stones
according to the number of the tribes
of the sons of Jacob,
unto whom the word of the Lord came,
saying,
Israel shall be thy name.
Now hold that for a second. How many stones he took?
12.
You know what the number 12 in the Bible stands for? Government. Government. Are you listening? So God is a great mathematician. How many apostles did Jesus have?
12.
Thank you very much. Because this talks about government. Are you listening? God changed Jacob's name from Jacob, which means supplanter or trickster, to Israel. Now, you know what that means. Prince with God. You have power with God. So I'm going to change your name. Are you listening? So this is what Elijah is talking about. God wants to establish government in the earth realm, and he cannot do that except he find a man who will cooperate with him. Okay, read.
And with the stones he built an altar
in the name of the Lord.
And he made a trench about the altar.
He made a trench about the altar.
As great as would contain.
Two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order.
And he cut the bullock in pieces.
And laid him on the wood.
And said,
fill four barrels with water.
and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood.
And he said,
do it again, do it the second time.
And they did it
a second time.
And he said, do it the third time.
And he did it the third time.
And the water ran round about the altar.
And he filled the trench also with water.
And it came to pass
at the time of the offering
of the evening sacrifice
that Elijah the prophet
came near
and said,
now watch this.
This is why I wanted to read this. Lord God of Abraham,
Isaac,
and of Israel,
let it be known this day.
Let it be known this day that thou art God
in Israel.
And that I am what?
See, everybody want to carry titles. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teacher.
But the great apostle Paul said, Paul, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle.
Don't get your calling mixed up with who your service is to.
Elijah wanted to know, God, I need them to know I'm your servant. I hear your voice, and I'm going to act at your command. Read.
Let it be known this day
that you are God
in Israel,
and that I am your servant,
and that I have done all these things
at thy word.
Hear me, O Lord.
Hear me.
That this people,
that they may know that thou art
the Lord God,
and that thou hast turned their heart
back again.
Then the fire of the Lord fell
and consumed the burnt sacrifice
and the wood
and the stones
and the dust
and licked up the water
that was in the trench.
Somebody say signs,
wonders,
and miracles.
See, that's what
catching the waves of revival is about,
bringing that power back into the church.
But it begins with us,
cooperation.
Are you listening?
Okay,
thank you so much.
Read, sir.
The rain came after
Noah.
Had built the ark. According to God's word.
The outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
It came down after the apostles.
They prepared themselves.
Corporately.
In the upper room.
Revival is a sovereign move.
Of God.
An intervention.
An intervention of God in the affairs of men.
Now you need to understand something about sovereign.
That means nobody can stop you.
I hope y'all act like y'all know a little something.
Nobody can stop you. Because we serve a sovereign God,
we have what's called divine backup.
Don't allow a little temporary challenge you see right now to be messing with your mind.
I know exactly what I'm doing.
Lord have mercy,
Jesus.
See, you're getting to participate in some stuff you're about to bear witness to.
So don't be tripping on the camera. Worried about me. I'm good. What's about you?
You know, you never allow a challenge to stop you from completing your assignment.
Are you listening?
So I got to get people's minds right. Because, you know, people be,
don't be looking at me.
Don't be concerned about me. I'm concerned about you.
I see better than you see.
And here too.
Okay, read, sir.
It's not something you or I plan.
A revival is not something that you or I plan.
It's something God does. By his spirit.
It's something God does by what?
By his spirit.
Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Everything that God does in this earth realm is orchestrated and administrated by God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equivalent to Jesus being in the earth realm today.
See, most of the church is sitting on a rusty dusty waiting for Jesus to come back.
But Jesus has already come back. Yeah.
See, I'm not talking about that. See, hold up. I'm not talking about the second coming of Christ. That's a whole different topic. But if you read St. John chapter 14, Jesus told those apostles, I am coming back. He said, I'm with you now. He said, you know the Holy Spirit. He with you right now. Well, how was he with them? Because he was in Jesus. And Jesus said, when I go to the Father, I'm going to pray the Father. And he's going to send another comforter, one of the same kind, one of the same sort. Me. I'm not coming as Emmanuel, God with you. I'm coming back as Holy Spirit, God in you. So when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, are you listening? And invaded the lives of all of those that were in the upper room, that was Jesus coming back, not to be with them, but to get in them. And just like he was in them, he's in you. And I'm expecting a fire to start burning in you as you sitting in apostles class first, because y'all got to understand everything that happens in this school of ministry flows from him. Okay, read, sir.
We can lay the foundation.
We can lay the foundation.
And prepare.
And prepare.
But it is God that has to move.
But it is God who has to move.
We have to follow instruction.
We have to learn how to follow instruction. It's that simple. If you follow instruction, you don't be like Dr. Walker. Christmas, I bought my son a bike. Are you listening? Now, you know old school. I don't need instruction. So I just got the bike and start putting it together. But a child don't ask questions that you ain't ready for. Because after I put all of the bike together, they had a bunch of stuff left. And my son came and said, Daddy, what's all of this extra stuff sitting here? I say, son, you don't need that. Now, the true answer was, son, your daddy didn't read the instruction to find out where all this stuff go and how to put it on there. So you have an incomplete bike. Now, see, now y'all won't talk. That's like the woman telling her husband she can cook and ain't following the recipe. Okay. All right. Come on. Move right on. Come on, sir. Come on, sir.
Catching the waves of revival.
Catching the waves of revival.
Is the unfolding of what it takes.
Catching the waves of revival is the unfolding of what it takes
to bring revival into our city.
To bring revival into our city
and land.
And into our land.
We will study the various stages
of revival. We will study in this semester the various stages of revival.
Most people believe. We will have to wait for revival.
We would have to wait for a revival to begin.
Because it is a sovereign act.
Because it's a sovereign act of God.
And only God can determine.
That only God can determine.
When it should happen.
When it should happen.
The fire came after Elijah.
Now watch this. The fire came after Elijah.
Built the altar.
Built the altar.
The rain came.
The rain came after.
Noah built the ark. The glory came.
The glory came after Moses built the tabernacle. Why am I saying all of these things? Because after you follow God's instruction, the glory show up. No, baby. Hey, y'all ready for this? God cannot lie. If God tell you he gonna do something, huh? Watch this. It was done the minute he spoke it. Oh, Lord, see y'all. I don't know where y'all been. The do of God is in done. When you have this done, then God do. Are you listening? You have to believe that God has already done something to experience his due. It's no problem. Done is D-O-N-E. So the due of God is in done. When you believe it's already done, now you give God permission to do it. Because it was already done when he spoke it to you. That's okay. I'm not trying to be deep. I'm trying to show you how simple God is. God said, when I speak to you or told you to do something, in my instructions is what it takes to bring it to pass. Read, sir.
The heavens opened. After Jesus prayed.
After Jesus prayed.
The Holy Spirit Spirit came.
The Holy Spirit came.
After they had gathered together.
After they had gathered together in the upper room.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
Came after the apostles.
Came after the apostles.
Laid their hands on the believers.
Laid their hands on the believers.
There's something we must do.
There is something we must do.
To activate revival.
Notice, Apostle talked in the previous class, didn't he? About we must learn how to what? Activate. I like that, Holy Spirit. There's a spirit of activism. That's rising up amongst this younger generation. See, people are tired of the status quo. No change can happen by you being silent. You must rise up. And I'm tired of hearing echoes. We need voices. Read.
There's something we must do.
There's something we must do.
To activate revival.
To activate revival.
In our city.
In our city.
And in our ministry.
And in our ministry. See, a lot of too much emphasis put upon the pastor. Last I checked, coals get on fire. You know, if you're a barbecue, a master chef, are you listening? You don't need to go cook Kingsford and then get you some lighter fluid on the side and pour it. You're wasting your time. Buy some match light. That's why you need your money. Are you listening? Because cheap folk, I'm going to get the coal. I can have some fluid left. No, get the match light. It worked quicker. Put them in a pile. Are you listening? Then put the match on. You don't have to worry about lighting them all up. Just put the match in it. Guess what happens? When one lit up, the whole pile going to get lit up. Are you listening? So what am I saying? An apostolic church takes on the characteristics of the apostle that they're following. If he's on fire and you just get rub on in there, follow instruction, it'll rub off on you. Go ahead, sir.
The stages of revival, as unfolded in this book, can help us to prepare our churches to walk into the spirit
of revival
before it breaks out in full scale. To know how and what to do
is important,
and we need to have prophetic insight
and perception.
We in this new generation have to know we have been given keys to the kingdom.
We have to know that we have been given what?
Keys
to the kingdom. Now, what are keys for? Opening. Yes. Unlocking. Go ahead. Read, sir.
We know about ask, seek, and knock.
Now, we know. Y'all remember in Luke 11? Where Jesus say, everyone that ask, receive it. To him that seek it, he find it. And to him that knocketh, the door is open. Are you listening? Now, in case you've never heard this before, you haven't asked until you've done all three. See, there you go. Now I lost you. Listen, you haven't asked until you ask, seek, and knock. That's a triune process. You don't just ask and receive. You got to ask and receive, and you got to keep seeking till you find, and you knock until it's open. But here's the revelation. Ask, seek, and knock will lead you into unlock. Because once you know, baby, you ain't waiting on God no more. Now, keep reading. I'm going to show you. Go ahead, sir.
We have this knocking theology.
We have a knocking theology.
We have to move from the knocking theology.
We have to move from the knocking theology.
To the unlocking theology.
To the unlocking theology.
That's in Matthew 16, 19.
Matthew 16, 13 to the end of the chapter. That's me telling you to do that. Read.
Stop knocking and start unlocking.
Stop knocking and start unlocking.
One believer can knock.
Now watch this. This one believer can knock. But it's up to God to determine.
If and when he will open.
The
other believer determines. It's over and has the keys.
It's already done. And he's already been given the keys.
In his hand.
So y'all ready for this? You don't hear prayers like, Lord, we waiting on you. Well, God been waiting on us. Lord, I'm waiting on you. Y'all done heard them prayers. Some of y'all hear them every week. Go ahead, read.
One believes. And waiting on God. While the other believes. In advance in the kingdom.
Now watch this. I got to talk up in here. Jesus did not pray to the Father to heal nobody. Now I say, oh, there you go. Jesus never sent us apostolically out to pray for the sick. He said, heal them. Oh, yes, there's a difference. Some people go pray and don't expect no results. But when he say go heal the sick, go cast out the devil, go cleanse the leper, go raise the dead, he meant that. That's why we must go back to apostolic government, because it was through the hands of the apostles that many signs and wonders were done. We have people trying to do what apostles are assigned to do. An apostle is assigned to this. How are they going to be ranks if everybody doing the same doggone thing? All right, it's okay. Go ahead, sir.
These apostolic teachings and procedures
will help the church
to work out their own salvation
and come into their full inheritance. Your inheritance come from advancing the kingdom. Go ahead, sir. Read.
The keys of the kingdom are given to a mature church,
a person of maturity. Go ahead.
Not an immature one. Who will squander her inheritance.
See, most people don't know the purpose of wealth. You can't get connected to the money cometh man and think it's going all for you. The purpose of money cometh is to advance the kingdom. So sowing is of the essence. So don't come up in this class and don't sow. I'm not talking to me. I'm talking to apostle. Yes. I just thought you should know that. Are you listening? Amen. Dr. Walker ain't told you nothing. You don't come before an apostle empty handed. All right. I know y'all trained well. Go ahead.
You have to be a real son. To carry the keys.
Now when I was going through this lesson today, the Lord revealed to me, spoke to me. He said, now you see, it's one thing to be born a son. But to become a son is another level. To many has received him. John 1:12. To them gave he the right, the privilege to become. Oh, well, I was born. Oh, you might be born a son, but did you become one? Because you're not ready to be given away in marriage till you become a son. We got too many boys getting married. They want their mama. Shata. Okay, go ahead, sir.
You have to be a real son to carry the keys.
You cannot use the keys as a rookie. In other words, maturity means you know what to do with the key. Read.
We can bring full-scale transformation.
On this earth.
By thinking with the mind. Or a strategist. And pursuing this course. With the spirit of the revival.
See, apostles doing a lot of training on the soul. If you're not following apostle closely, I would highly suggest that you visit all of his Sunday and Tuesday teachings. If you're going to get connected, get connected. Amen. The hell with all of this. It don't take all that. Yes, it do. I'm a pastor and I do it. Isn't that good? Thank you very much. Read, sir.
Do not let strategy take the place of revelation
that comes from spending time with the Holy Spirit. See, the church is built on revelation knowledge, not reasoning. Go ahead, sir.
True revival produces specifications
for the good of man
and for the glory of God.
Twofold, the good of man and the glory of God. Can I talk to you? I had an interview with Jesus. Look at some of y'all got quiet. What that man said? I had an interview with Jesus. Well, how you interviewed him? I read the book. Now, I'm gonna tell you something because it's going to be important to you. People will try to lift you up to tell you what you are doing. But you need to know who's actually doing the work. You say Jesus did the first miracle at Cana of Galilee by turning the water into wine. You said Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. You said Jesus raised up the man who was lame and cleansed the leper. But Jesus said, ha ha, no. Y'all are all misinformed. It was my Father in me doing the work. Y'all said, there y'all go. See. Men said what Jesus did. But if you read the Bible, Jesus said, no, it's not me. It's my Father working in me. So a mature son and a mature daughter understands that they are to bring glory to their Father and not just their heavenly Father. If you can't follow your spiritual father, you ain't gonna be able to find your. I'm just being real with you. You're trying to operate on a different plane. If I cannot follow the directions of my earthly father, my spiritual father, don't worry about your heavenly father. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Some of y'all too deep. Y'all act like you don't need your man of God. Go ahead, read.
Chapter 1, revival.
Now you watch that clock back there because ain't we not getting me thrown out here now. Okay. Chapter 1, revival is a divine attack on society.
The closest biblical word to revival,
is revive or reviving.
From the Hebrew word,
chayah. Now, I'm like Apostle, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I could take a stab at it, but in falling behind Apostle, y'all just spell a word and we keep going. Go ahead, sir.
A primitive root meaning to live.
This word
is also translated in Strong's. As nourish. Preserve alive.
To quicken.
Restore.
To save alive.
And to make whole.
This is the word. The Hebrew word used for revive or reviving. That will be on the test. Go ahead.
The first four times this word is translated. Revived in the King James Version. It deals with four increasing levels of death.
And we will continue next week.